This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, as we continue to roll on with one of the books, two to go, plenty more of the big show, 2 hours still to go in The Usual Suspects. Again, Sigmund Bloom, 230 fantasy football questions. Lots more before that. Wanted to mention, too, just to give you guys some peace of mind out there, ESPN put out an article today of 27 experts that were asked to give their opinion on who would win baseball's four major awards in the MVP balloting. 26 of the 27 did indeed pick Jose Altuve, so hopefully that will be a good sign for the Astros' second baseman.
Let's hope so.
Indeed.
Let's hope so. Hey, rest in peace. I saw you posted this link from Barstool.
Yeah.
Rest in peace to Shyla Stiles.
If you don't know, you better ask somebody.
Yeah, she died. 35-year-old adult film Hall of Famer died suddenly in her sleep at her mother's Armstrong BC home on November 9th. Her death has shattered the porn industry, apparently.
35 is way too young to go unless there's a major medical complication.
But isn't that too old to be doing porn, really? 35. I feel like porn stars and athletes have the same age range. Like, if you're in your 40s doing porn or
not really, not
or
if you
sports,
can still pull it off.
I feel if you're still in search of that ring, and at the same time, you're still putting up good stats.
Ring,
at
ring
35.
Worm? What ring?
Whatever ring still, you choose. I'm just saying, if you still got your eye on the prize, and at 35, you're still
ring?
Putting up good numbers, I think you should just keep doing what you do.
Wasn't in that that Nouveau ring? Isn't that a birth control thing?
I would not know the answer to that.
but yeah, age is just a number, man. Why are you trying to discourage these porn
but
stars?
But I feel like a 35-year-old porn star is like a 35-year-old point guard or something. Like, yeah.
There's some 35-year-old point guards that can still fill it up.
I'm not going to go there.
I'm just saying.
There's some 35-year-old
that's
porn
being
stars.
Isolated.
Barry, ever heard of a triple-double?
Well,
they can
yeah.
still be achieved.
Oh, my goodness. I see the... but I thought when I saw... I didn't recognize the name Shyla Stiles, all right? And I told you guys... I told you guys that to me it sounded like a children's book author, Shyla Stiles. So then I came up with the idea that you guys should have to guess, because there's probably some names that are either that sound like children's book authors, like Shyla Stiles, but are porn star folks.
What about Shyla Stiles says children's author?
I don't know. It just sounds like a children's author.
Okay.
Like Shel Silverstein, Shyla Stiles.
Like as long as you don't see that it's Styles with a Z.
Well, that makes it kind of weird, but yeah. But I thought, let's see if you guys could find or could tell the difference between a children's book author and a porn star.
Oh, Nick's killing this.
So I went out and did some exhaustive research on Pornhub for names.
Nick has Siri on hold.
Yeah, Nick, get off the computer.
No,
jerk.
I'm not Googling, I promise.
Right.
You better not.
Promise.
Hey, put your hands where I can see them for two reasons. For several reasons. I want to know where your hands
my
are.
My hands are in my pocket.
Okay.
Oh, yes, they are.
Not my pants pockets.
Yeah, why are they moving in your pocket? That's weird. Just the one side? You put both hands in one pocket? That's kind of a weird move. All right, here we go. Children's book author or porn star? You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Ace Sterling. Nick, get off the computer now!
I'm looking at audio.
No.
I swear,
Ace, you were gonna cheat.
Ace Sterling. What you guys got?
That's a male porn star.
Yeah, I'm gonna say the same thing.
Good job, good job. It's a male porn star.
Okay.
All right, Daniel Handler.
Dude, you're giving us men.
Yeah.
Another male porn star, Handler.
Yeah,
that's a male.
Daniel
porn
Handler.
Star.
I'm gonna agree with Nick again.
That is a children's book author.
No.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
He does porn on the side.
Right. Avi. A-V-I. Avi.
Too easy. It's going to be a children's book author.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm confused.
I'm just trying to play.
I'm going to roll with Joel on this one. Children's
got
book
it.
Author.
You got it. All you right, got cool. it. So you guys are what? Two and one?
2-1.
Okay. Mem Fox.
Mem Fox.
Mem Fox.
Fox, that's just, I'm going to go with porn.
How many
Fox.
X's?
Mem Fox.
You're not going to answer me?
No.
How's it? I need Fox. A spelling, nope. And I need to use this it in a sentence, please.
This ain't the spelling bee, bro. Mem Fox.
For the win, I will say children's author.
Okay, and you're going...
Porn star.
All right. Joel gets it.
Dang.
That is a children's book author. All right. Gemini Lavelle.
Oh, boy. I'm going to go porn star.
I'm going to go author.
Porn star.
Dang it.
Killing you.
Race Cooper.
Porn star.
Children's book author.
Porn star.
Ah,
yeah. Madison Scott. See, that one you
all
can't
Madisons
tell.
Are porn stars.
Yeah, I believe that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's a porn star.
I believe
star.
That, too, yes.
All Madisons are porn stars. I love it. Last
Thank
one.
Thank God we didn't name Taylor Madison. He was a finalist, by the way. I would have felt awful. Wow.
That's hilarious.
Maurice Sendick.
Oh, come on.
Male
just
porn
put
star.
The emphasis on the syllable. I'm going to say children's author.
Children's author. Ah! Good job. You're a pro at this,
we
Joel.
We need to make that the darling way segment of the day.
Good job, Joel. You really know your porn stars.
I had two wrong. No, I know my children's author.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah right. I'm disappointed exactly. In you, Nick. You should have done way better.
Yeah, Nick?
Yeah, I thought I had this in the bag.
I did,
Joel.
Too.
It's more than a hobby for you. It's a way of life.
Ouch.
Come on.
Hey, somebody bring Nick some aloe vera for that burn, yeah. Please. He's going to need some aloe
when
gel.
We had the last week's topic, and everybody was talking about where they do it and how often, and everybody was like, oh, I got to find time away from my wife. I got to do this. And Nick's like, I just spread out on the couch and put the coffee table.
Yeah, Nick don't care. I knew you would get the children's authors. I had a feeling because I feel like you have all their books.
No.
No?
No.
I feel like he has all the porn stars' books.
We've only gotten to the point where Taylor can say, book? But no. Yeah, we're not exactly reading through them like Evelyn Wood.
All right. Somebody said I said catcher. Extremely weird. Love you from your boy, that boy Dilly. Do
it's
I say
not
catcher weird?
It's
is
more,
it catcher?
I don't pay attention
it's
to that.
It's more like down here.
I think he wants me to say catcher.
Yeah, catcher is northern and eastern.
Catcher?
It's
but
fine.
I just say catcher.
It's
like,
fine.
I don't know. It's like saying ketchup or catch-up, right?
Potato, yeah. Potato.
Catsup. Do you ever do the?
I've never said that.
Catsup.
But...
Yeah, please don't ever say that.
I don't. We're like talking about your baby.
Yeah,
you love you some catsup.
Do not. Put some respect on that.
Is it catch-up or ketchup?
Ketchup.
Is it? Okay. Yeah, I think I say ketchup, but I say catcher. That's weird.
It is weird.
Whatever. I don't care. You know what? That boy Dilly, you shut your face. Go to hell. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah. I'm calling people out, too. I don't give a damn.
Rockets play tonight, boys. Back on the court in the Valley of the Sun in Phoenix, Arizona. Everybody's like, okay, whatever. Well, here's the good news. Chris Paul's going to play tonight, but he's going to be on a minutes restriction. They're going to try to keep him to 20 minutes, but I expect a complete blowout in this one.
Do you?
Yeah.
Plus, they don't have Tyson Chandler.
He's kind of been out for a while now, but he's kind of like the old gun with a whole bunch of young guns. I don't think that
they're going to miss him that much.
No, Booker's the guy you got to watch. The guy can flat out shoot. I thought it was weird and kind of random last night. They were talking about what's wrong with the Cavaliers, and you know, the Cavs were playing the Hornets on ESPN. And Paul Pierce just out of the blue, or Jalen Rose, one of the two, just goes, I say right now you send Jay Crowder, Tristan Thompson, and a draft pick for Booker, and you make LeBron happy. I'm like, I don't think giving away two rotational players and one of your major rim protectors and two defenders for Booker is going to be the answer.
I was watching, I forget what I was watching, but it had Jalen Rose and
he's annoying,
Chauncey Billups.
Yep, that's the
Jalen Rose
Beadle.
Is annoying.
Yeah, wow. And Paul Pierce.
Yeah, that's the NBA pregame show,
and it was horrible.
It's very bad.
And they were arguing about hairlines, and then they were arguing about history. Like he was like, oh, I know my history, and because there was a discussion: is Ben Simmons the greatest rookie?
Oh, I saw that.
Of all time.
I was watching it last night, yep.
And he was like, well, you know, I'm a historian. This is Jalen Rose, who said, I'm a historian, and I'm going to say it was
Oscar Robertson was mentioned, yeah. But Pierce, I think, mentioned him. And then Chauncey said, I'm too
Jalen
old.
Jalen Rose said, I'm a historian. I'm going to go, because Chauncey said,
I'm
not
a
historian.
Too old, but I appreciate you remembering the guy.
But it was Rose
past.
Who said he was a historian, and it was Paul Pierce, I think, who said MJ.
Okay.
Or something like that. Yeah, it was just, but it was so bad because they were trying to diss each other. I think they were trying to do kind of a Shaq Barkley kind of thing, but it just looked
horrible.
That whole
show doesn't work for me, and no. I'm not a Michelle Beadle fan. I'm just not.
You're not?
She just, no matter what she does, it just doesn't do it for me, and I'm just not a fan of her being a host, whether it's the afternoon show or at night. I thought Sage Steele was much better at night with the NBA crew.
Did you? Okay, and I feel bad. I need to go back to our show notes. Who was the coach that was grabbing the arm?
John Calipari.
And what was the lady's name?
Taylor, I believe.
Was it Melissa Taylor? I need to look it up. I want to get her name.
The sideline reporter?
Yeah. John Calipari and who was
she? Does the sideline for the college football games, too.
Yep. But did you see her response?
Yeah, she did it right away, and then everybody sat on it for a day to make it more dramatic.
Yeah, it was Maria Taylor.
There you go.
So she came out, and if you don't know, you know, he had this sideline. They were doing an interview in-game, and he grabs her by the arm, and as he's talking, he finally goes, "Am I squeezing your arm too hard?" And she was like, "Yeah, I'm not one of your players." But they kind of laughed it off, and then everyone's like, "Oh, that was inappropriate and awkward." And she was like, "No, it wasn't inappropriate. It wasn't awkward. There's nothing to look into it. This isn't a big deal. Don't make it a big deal out there. But if you're going to talk about it, my name is Maria Taylor, not the ESPN reporter." But she was super cool about it, and she kind of was laughing when she did it. I thought, good for her. Yep. I mean, she handled that as about as classy as you could handle it. And she diffused the situation before it blew up into something that it shouldn't have been. Because in today's, like, you know, social justice Wolfpack warrior mentality that everybody has, you could just see a bunch of idiots running with that, be like, "Oh, Calipari disrespected her." Look, if she wasn't disrespected, then it didn't happen. So yeah. I like the way she came out and handled
it. And she also didn't she make the statement too that she loved being able to interview him?
Yeah.
Or something like that.
I don't know. I just know she said it wasn't a big deal, and that they're friends and all that. So
I would imagine that's a good job. I mean, because he's a good interviewer, so I would imagine it's fun covering it.
He was into it, and he wasn't disrespectful. I mean,
his emotions are kind of high right now. He was trying to, you know, he was knocking on his own team. They're not trying to rebound the ball.
He doesn't like to knock on his own team.
He does.
Yeah. One of the things about being the coach of a young team with our one and dones is he just bangs on them all year until the very end.
Yeah,
but her tweet at the end was, "Just want to let everyone know my arm is totally fine, and while I am not one of Coach Cal's players, I do love interviewing him."
Yep.
So she set the record straight too. But that was kind of a fun interaction. By the way, props to the NCAAs and whoever lined up that was a hell of a matchup to start the college. It's kind of like the kickoff classic, getting good teams. But when you start the college basketball season with 1 versus 2 and 3 versus 6, that's a pretty nice way to kick off college basketball, even though you weren't watching. Yeah, I just want to throw that out there. Duke, Michigan State, Kansas.
Ooh,
Kentucky.
Yeah. Man, all those teams with those players. Yes. Super excited.
And then there's that.
Yeah.
All right. 15 minutes away from Sigmund Bloom. I know you can't wait for that because you are the quarterback of Rapid Fire, and they come in rather quickly.
Yeah, you guys should call now, 713-780-3776. Go ahead and get on hold. Because I'm telling you, you're going to be pissed that we didn't get your question asked.
And tell them, because you set this straight every week and then people get upset. But what is the priority amongst calls, texts, and tweets?
Calls.
Calls first, and we will take them live on the air. Then we will get to as many of the texts and tweets as we possibly can. So there you have it, people. Don't say you haven't been told, because we're giving it to you now. 2:30, Sigmund Bloom, fantasy football, and that's the order in which we will proceed. Other than that, can proceed to keep your radio right where it's at. We're going to take a quick break and come back with a whole lot more. It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to The Usual Suspects. As we continue to roll on, we already have warned you several times. We're going to give you another pre-warning. Sigmund Bloom, Fantasy Football, 2:30. Get your questions in now. If you want to call, we'll put you on hold. You'll sit through the segment, then you'll get in line to get your question answered with Sigmund. Otherwise, call. If you're not going to call, text or tweet. We will line them up, put them in order accordingly, and then Barry will rapid fire them to Sigmund as we get in between calls. There, I've said it again. I will give you one final warning, and that will be it.
713-780-3776 or at Barry is funny on Twitter.
There you go.
I have one person that has tweeted me a question. It was Nestor really early on. So
does
if
that
you
surprise
wanna,
you?
A little bit, because usually my Twitter is full by now with fantasy questions.
But Nestor and Eric, I should just call him Narek.
Don't do that.
They normally ask questions throughout every hour of the evening, too, so that we can just have the questions at any time.
All right. That was Joel Blank saying
yes,
that.
Yes, it was.
You guys,
it's not a bad thing.
Send your hatred. Send your hatred to Joel Blank.
There's no hatred.
At Pac-Man Joel.
Whatever. All right. So other news around the NFL as we get ready for the fantasy football questions with Sigmund. Titans Steelers tonight might be maybe, let's hope, the best game that they've had all year on Thursday Night Football, or
no.
At least a decent game.
No.
What do you say, the Niners 33-32 loss or something?
No, there was one. What was the – there was like second week.
Second week
was
like
a badass
Texans
game.
Bengals. It sucked.
No, let me go back to the Thursday schedule.
Please,
but I'm going to say week two. All right, I'm looking it up right now since you're putting me on the spot.
Chop, chop.
Oh, yeah, it was Bengals and Texans.
Yeah, Rams and Niners was a one-point game, but no one...
Week one, Chiefs-Patriots.
Week one is
suck
always
it.
The best game of the whole year.
Suck it. That was week one.
That doesn't really
week
count.
Week three,
that's the kickoff game.
Sucked. Week four, sucked.
That was Packers.
Yeah, that sucked pretty bad.
Because it was a blowout.
Week five, Pats-Bucks, 19-14.
Yeah.
That move your needle?
Nope.
Okay. So it wasn't a bad matchup. Week six was good. Philly, Carolina. That was that 28-23 game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it was better.
So,
game. I mean, I look at tonight.
Oakland, KC, 31-30. That was a good game. See, there's been some good Thursday matchups.
I look at tonight's game, and I think the Steelers are going to blow them out.
Really?
Yeah. But again, then I start thinking about it going, well, Big Ben has been really bad lately and very inconsistent. I don't think Tennessee is worthy of a 6-3 record. I just don't see that team and go, that's a team that's a valid 6-3 that should be a contender in the AFC. I just don't see it. I know Mariota's playing better. I know that their defense is decent. I know they got a great running game, but I just don't see it yet. But if nothing else, I hope it's something that's good to watch.
Well, the spread is -7.
Who's giving 7?
Pittsburgh.
Okay.
So, yeah, and the matchup predictor is about 75% chance that Pittsburgh wins the game.
So I'll be flipping back and forth then between Rockets,
yep.
Suns.
I'll probably start watching the game and record it that way if anything crazy happens. But if it's not a good game by halftime, I'm out. I'll go play Assassin's Creed.
Quick turnaround does not impact the Steelers, I guess, if they say 75% chance.
Yeah, well, both of them are on a 3-game turnaround. You know what I mean? But what if I'm Tennessee, I'm a little worried because Mariota has been banged up. A couple weeks ago, he rushed for 6 yards, threw for 220. That's not his game. Last week, though, he improved upon that. He ran for 50, so that tells me he's getting healthy.
He looked good last week.
So I don't know if it's that big of a deal, but when you got a guy that's been banged up, you sure do hate to come back on 3 days rest. He hasn't had a chance to let his body heal the full compliment that most players get. So that would concern me a little bit. The Steelers lost one of their starting quarterbacks, Joe Hayden, broke his tibia
corners,
versus
yep.
the Colts. Or
yep.
Excuse me, yeah, corners. So, Sensabaugh, though, is not bad. I mean, the Steelers are actually pretty deep cornerback. They go four deep. So, I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal, but I don't know if Mariota's healthy enough to take advantage of it.
My biggest question is just what's going on with Big Ben, simply because you've got, a talented running back. You've got talented receivers. I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster has been fantastic to compliment Brown.
Yep.
You've got a really staunch offensive line. And, I don't know. I go back to him hemming and hawing about retirement a year ago, where you just wonder if his heart's not in it anymore because he just hasn't looked nearly like himself all season for the most part. Because I picked the Steelers to be a team in the Super Bowl, and for a couple of weeks there, you're like, they're not even close. Now, they've been playing better. They're winning games, but he's still not playing great.
I was looking back at his numbers. So he's had a couple of 300-yard games, but yeah, other than that, he hasn't been all that impressive. The Chiefs, Bengals, and Colts, he put up around 250 to 225 in those three games. He threw for over 300 against Jacksonville, Detroit, which is not, throwing for 300 yards against that Jacksonville defense is something to be said about that. But you're right, he's not as consistent as he's been. He's still performing like a top 10 quarterback. but he should be a lot better.
Involved.
He should be a lot better. With all the weapons that he has, he should be more consistent and a lot better.
Speaking of butts involved, that's the kind of guy that you'd have on your bench if you're a fantasy football owner, right, Nick?
What?
I'm a big fan. I'm always, you know, I'm paying attention to my fantasy.
Yeah, you're a huge fantasy guy. You love.
Ben is the anchor that sits on his bench.
You really, you have a Roethlisberger on your bench and you
don't
play him?
I don't even remember what my teams are, honestly.
There you go. And there's an even better honest answer.
But I did want to play this because Ben Roethlisberger was talking. Richie Incognito was talking about the quick turnaround, and here's what Roethlisberger had to say. I felt like it was a, you know, he was expressing his disdain for the quick turnarounds, but also like a politically correct answer.
It's tough. I mean, it is what it is. I know that the players voted on, even though we were the only team to unanimously vote against the CBA. But, you know, it's we got to go out and we have to do it. It's not like we can't do it. It's it is tough to turn around physically because it is such a demanding sport, a demanding game. You know, we're a pretty beat up football team, and to turn around in 2 days and go out and play another physical football team is going to be tough. They're going through it too, so it's not like we were playing Thursday and they're not. You know, they didn't play last Sunday too. So it is what it is.
That's, I mean, look, I don't think from a player's perspective they're ever going to be happy with that. Unless you can get teams coming off a bye and both teams come off a bye, then it can make sense. But scheduling, I don't think that's there's any way to make that happen either. But unless there's a way where the guys have ample time leading into a Thursday night, the players are never going to be happy. The fans love it. You know, all the football people love it. But I know the players hate it.
I found it interesting that he said that they were the only team to unanimously vote against it.
Yep.
I would have thought more teams would have voted against it unanimously.
Yeah.
But
from a player perspective, you're right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hang tight. We promised it, and now it's coming up next. Sigmund Bloom, fantasy football. We're going to go till about 245-ish on those questions. So the phone lines are piling up. We've got a few open spots at 713-780-3776. So if you want to be first in line, get in on the phone calls. Otherwise, text us and tweet us. We'll try to get those in as well. Stay tuned. We're at the halfway point of the Usual Suspects with a whole lot more coming your way right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back for the second half of the big show. It means 90 minutes in the rearview mirror, 90 still to go as we do what we do on Thursdays, and that means we bring in the one, the only, the guru of fantasy football that answers all of your fantasy football questions, none other than Sigmund Bloom. He is fantastic. He is quick. He gets you your answers in a very, very, very easy to understand way, even though your questions sometimes don't come up to that same level. And I had to educate them last week, Sigmund, on your picture on your Twitter account. I remember Sigmund the Sea Monster. I had to educate Barry and Nick on who exactly that was in the sit-in Marty Croft hour.
Yeah, it's good. I think we need to, and I believe that Amazon rebooted Sigmund and the Sea Monsters, but a sea monster who could get kicked out of the sea monster cave because he wouldn't scare people. I'm glad to share a name with him.
Absolutely, no question. You can follow Sigmund Bloom, by the way, throughout the week. Great information on fantasy football and football in general at Sigmund Bloom on Twitter, so you make sure you can follow him there. But he is our guy, and he is great about fantasy football. So without further ado, Barry.
Yeah, let's do it. Now, we always say 713-780-3776 is your phone number. That's the best way. We guarantee you'll get in if you call. But you got to call before the segment's up, 713-780-3776. You can text that number, and if we have time to get to your text, I will answer those. Also, Twitter, at Barry is funny. So let's hit up the phone lines like we promised. Nelson, you're up first. Nelson, what's your question for Sigmund?
Yeah, okay. So I got Kelvin Benjamin, and I know he just got a new quarterback. So I was wondering, should I bench him for in general for Sterling Shepard?
Yeah, I'd definitely go with Shepard. He was catching everything that was thrown his way. I'd expect the Giants to be playing from behind against Kansas City. And it may be a net gain for Kelvin Benjamin in the long run, but for the first week with Nathan Peterman, it's good to leave him on the bench.
Travis, you're up next. Go, Travis.
Yeah, I got a half-point PPR, and I got a trade offer, LeSean McCoy and Hopkins for Gronkowski and A.J. Green. My other running backs are Melvin Gordon and Freeman. Just wondering if you'd take that.
I probably wouldn't take that. I think that Rob Gronkowski is one of the major advantages. I would see the wide receivers in that as a wash. And also, DeAndre Hopkins has Jacksonville and Pittsburgh in weeks 15 and 16. So you make the playoffs, those are not good matchups for him. So I would want to stick with Rob Gronkowski. And even if Devontae Freeman can't go this week, find someone to fill in for him and keep that big advantage at tight end.
All right, order of longest hold. Patrick, you're up next. Patrick, what's up?
Yeah, so I was just wondering if you could help me pick two receivers from Juju Smith-Schuster, Antonio Brown, and then I have
Patrick?
Patrick, Robert Woods, and then Amari Cooper.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Antonio Brown absolutely has to be in. He usually bounces back with big games after his small game like he had last week. And then I would probably go ahead and go with Amari Cooper. I expect a high-scoring game down in Mexico City between the Raiders and the Patriots. So I'd go with him as the second one.
Good deal. Bo, you're up next.
Hey, Sigmund, I got a question. Jerick McKinnon or Deion Lewis in standard scoring?
I would still stick with McKinnon here. I think that this Vikings-Rams game could be high-scoring. I like Lewis a lot this week, and the Raiders have been weak against the run. But I think McKinnon has shown us a higher ceiling. With three out of the last 5 weeks, he's been a top-five running back.
713-780-3776. Call the show. We'll promise we'll get your call in if you call during this segment to talk to Sigmund Bloom about your fantasy questions. Playoffs are fast approaching, so you know you got to make up some ground. So get them in, 713-780-3776. Lenny, you're up next. Lenny, what's your question for Sigmund?
Hey, my question is more of a keeper league question. I've got Ezekiel Elliott and Todd Gurley. I can only keep one of them after the season. Should I just drop Elliott now, or what's your recommendation?
Sure. Yeah, I wouldn't drop Elliott. I think that potentially having him for week 16 in the fantasy championships is something good. Even if for some reason he doesn't return, if the Cowboys are out of playoff contention, then you just want to make sure that he doesn't fall into enemy hands. And whatever keeper rights that go with him, if you lose those when you drop him, you don't want to lose that.
Mark, you're up next. Go.
Yes, I have Stephon Diggs or Nelson Aguilar. Also, Pittsburgh defense or Baltimore defense?
You got to go with Baltimore defense against Brett Hundley. I think they're going to really harass him. Stephon Diggs has got to be in there. He's healthy again. And right now, the Minnesota passing game is red hot.
Sigmund, Joel didn't like hearing that about Green Bay. Joel's a huge Packer fan. All right, TJ, you're up next. TJ, what's up?
All right, I got a question. It's at least three. I have AP, and then DeAndre Hopkins and Robert Woods. Out of those three, which two would you start?
Yeah, I'd probably go with Hopkins and Woods here. You know, Woods is red hot right now, and I think Sammy Watkins is going to be locked up with Xavier Rhodes. And against Arizona, we've seen DeAndre Hopkins be matchup proof at this point. So I would expect that he's still going to get most of the targets from Tom Savage and catch enough to be worth being in the lineup.
All right, up next, Zach on the phone line. Zach, what's your question?
Yeah, I need two out of the four for the two flex positions I have. Jared Cook, Jeremy Maclin, Marvin Jones, and Isaiah Crowell. I need pick two.
Yeah, Maclin should be one. He's been the number one target for Joe Flacco, and Green Bay's secondary is vulnerable. And then for the second one, I'd probably go with Jared Cook against New England. Marvin Jones is blending into the background now that everyone's healthy and playing well for the Lions, and Isaiah Crowell faces the Jags' run defense. It's a lot tougher now that they have Marcell Dareus.
Jamal, you're up next. Go.
We got Mariota and Dalton on the bench. Who should I go?
Mariota should be in. I think actually the Steelers are going to be missing two of the starters in the secondary. Tennessee's offense is coming together, and Dalton's going against Denver. And even though Denver's dropped off as a defense, I still think that you want to leave Dalton on the bench.
Good deal. Travis, you're up. What's up, man? What's your question for Sigmund?
Hey, what's up? How many girls have you fucked?
Okay. That's not right. We'll dump that. All right, let's go. Yeah, don't worry about that segment. All right, from the text line, fantasy question, Mariota or Big Ben, both playing tonight, and then flex play, Derrick Henry, Sanu, or Sterling Shepard? That was from Titan Hugo.
Yeah, Shepard should be in there as the number one receiver for the Giants. I'd go with Mariota over Roethlisberger. I have confidence in both of them tonight, but Mariota's got the extra running ability, and I would say that gives him the edge over Roethlisberger.
All right, half-point PPR, Jarvis Landry or Mike Evans, Adrian Peterson or Doug Martin?
I'll go with Peterson just because I do expect Arizona to stay in that game long enough to get him his 20 or 25 carries, and I like Mariota this week.
All right, Nestor Carmona said, Drake, Lynch, Morris Peterson, Lewis, start two standard scoring.
I would say Lynch and Peterson. Hopefully Oakland will go with a game plan to feature Lynch down in Mexico to keep Tom Brady on the sidelines and make that game shorter. The Patriots have been training in Denver with the high altitude this week, so that tells me they're going to try to speed it up, and the Raiders will want to slow it down.
Back to the phone lines. Eric, what's your question for Sigmund?
Yeah, man, I got a question. I got Devontae Parker or Robert Woods. Who I start?
It's hard for me to put Woods on the bench right now the way he's playing. And, again, I think that Sammy Watkins is going to cancel out Xavier Rhodes, that number one corner, and Woods is going to get the good matchup again against Minnesota.
Ben Strom on Twitter had a trade question. He says he has both Brady and Wentz but needs another receiver for a playoff push. Who do I keep and who has the trade value?
I would trade away Wentz just because I think that Brady is steadier and more proven, and he has got great matchups. Actually, in a weird scheduling quirk, they've got Miami and Buffalo twice left before Week 16, and both of those teams are in free fall right now.
Yeah, that is kind of weird. All right, non-PPR, Peterson or Murray?
Again, I'll give the edge to Peterson just because I expect him to get 20-plus carries. Murray got those touchdowns last week, but otherwise he looked just as slow as he has in the previous week.
All right, before we let you go, give the guys some streaming defenses that they should consider for the week.
Yeah, we talked about Baltimore as one. I would also look to see if some defenses were dropped last week, Baltimore being one. Philadelphia was on bye. They have a good one against Dallas and their offensive line that's in shambles right now. Kansas City is a good one against the Giants. And then really either side of Arizona and Houston, when it's Tom Savage against Blaine Gabbert, the defenses are likely to shine.
Sigmund, real quick, is Jamal Williams a viable short-term fix at running back right now?
No, I don't think so, especially not this week against Baltimore and their run defense. I'd actually be more interested in potentially a boost in value for Randall Cobb getting some more snaps in the backfield, or even Devontae Mays, the third rookie running back they drafted, who's the best athletically, and he may outshine Jamal Williams this week.
That is Sigmund Bloom. You can find him at footballguys.com. If you still have questions for him, they have a message board that they'll answer all the way up to kickoff on Sunday. So hit up footballguys.com and the message board. You can also tweet him at Sigmund Bloom on Twitter. Also, if you have trade questions that you need answered right away, they have an app called the Trade Dominator and also the Lineup Dominator, right, Sigmund?
Yeah, it's just like we're looking over your shoulder, giving you that assist when it's go time.
Thank you, Sigmund. We'll talk to you Sunday.
Thanks,
Joy. Sigmund Bloom, footballguys.com. Hit them up. It's a great website. If you still didn't get your fantasy questions answered, they'll take care of you over there.
There you have it. Fresh straight off the HRP listener line to your ears, and we're going to continue to roll on. We've got breaking news on ESPN and Michelle Beadle, too, because we talked about it. I can give you the rumor mill and what's going on with 100 cuts looming again at the Four Letter Network. We can talk about that. We can talk about a whole lot more. Stay tuned. ESPN 97.5.
Yes, yes. 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
We're back as we continue to roll on after some good stuff from Sigmund Bloom. It always is. We tell you guys, we warn you guys in advance, and hopefully you take advantage of it, and so you can get corner your fantasy football league like Nick has done in both of ours.
We had over 30 some odd questions that we didn't get to. So again, we got through all the phone calls, including one idiot. Sir, I know you're listening, and you're an idiot, and you're childish, and you should grow up. And I hope when you get back to the office and you sit down, you fall out of your chair. I hope your chair falls apart and you skin your knee. There you go.
So we were talking about Michelle Beadle, and I'm not a fan.
Mm-hmm.
And this just coming out through awful announcing. Michelle Beadle is headed to join Mike Greenberg when Mike and Mike break up. on Greenberg's new gig called The Get Up Morning Show. However, The Get Up Morning Show has been pushed to the spring due to construction delays on ESPN's new New York studios. With that being said, they're going to need a new host in the afternoons that for Beatles show.
I'll do
Sports
it.
Sports Nation.
What?
So Carrie Champion, who is the morning Sports Center anchor, she is going to be moved to afternoons to work with Marcellus Wiley in the crew.
You don't like Michelle Beadle. I don't like Carrie Champion.
Carrie Champion I don't like because of the fact I thought she was good.
She's way too vain.
I don't like the fact she was a huge Dodger fan and on National Sports Centers was weeing and ussing.
I don't care about that.
I do.
Well, that's fine. She's too vain. She's always looking at herself on camera while she's doing the show. And you can tell she just has that vibe of she doesn't care about anything else other than how she looks. Drives me insane. Like, just do the show.
She does put a lot of extra baby oil on the legs, too, every day.
Give me more Susie Colbert.
Really?
Professional, good at what she
Colbert's
does.
Good, yeah.
I like her. I
like Carrie Champion. I just don't like the fact that she personalizes what team she's rooting for.
Who's the blonde lady with the glasses that does a lot? Doris Burke. Love her. Doris Burke's great. Give me more Doris Burke's, less Carrie Champions.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Why don't you like Michelle Beadle? What's the reason? There's got to be something specific.
She seems like she just came off an all-night bender. The way she talks, the way she looks.
Hey!
Yeah. The way it sounds like.
Hold it down. My head is killing me.
That's exactly it. And it drives me crazy.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't want to be an a-hole and start picking on people.
Well, don't stop now.
I hate you. Oh, yeah, Linda Cohn. I could do without Linda Cohn, Adrian. She's all right. But I saw this look like a principal. Like, this looked like a lunch lady on ESPN. It was Tracy McGrady and what's his name? Do you know what I'm talking about, Nick? I got to look it up. But it was Tracy McGrady, and I think Amin starts with an E. His last name starts with an E.
I have no idea.
And it was some blonde lady who I have no idea who it is. I'm going to find out who it is, but she looked like she had no business being on ESPN. She looked like a grumpy lunch lady. And I was like, how does this, like, she shouldn't be on TV. You know what I mean? Like, there's some guys, like, who's the fat guy that follows the Cavs?
Oh, Brian Windhorst.
Shouldn't be on TV.
Good point.
Paul Feinbaum shouldn't be on TV.
Mr. Burns from Simpsons?
Yeah, well, I mean, let's be real. Some of these folks shouldn't be on TV. Hey, we're ugly. We shouldn't be on TV. Amin El Hassan. Thank you, Nick. Amin El Hassan is the name of the guy.
He's like a GM/capologist guy.
He's a GM?
Or a former like assistant GM and capologist guy, I think.
He was doing a show with Tracy McGrady. And they were discussing some. I don't remember what they were discussing, but the lady that was I gotta find her. It was pretty bad. I don't know if it's still up, but I'm gonna find it. I'm gonna get this before the end of the next segment, and you will see that I'm right.
Okay,
how about that?
And I don't know if you've heard this or not, but again, we went through all the big ESPN cuts a while back when they let go of so many good people. Now there's a rumor that 100 more are coming. And it could be coming pretty quick here. Nice little touch for ESPN to do that right around the holidays. But
when looks is
like
the last
time
they
continue
to
cut back? Remember that was when Ron Jaworski and a lot of the beat reporters got let go. Jason Stark covering baseball. They cut a whole bunch of people, which was I want to say about 3 or 4 months ago. And now they're saying there's more coming, and it looks like up to 100 more cuts could be coming between now and the end of the year.
My favorite is when everyone will text the show
thinking that are asking if we're okay.
Yeah, or saying that the ESPN should have cut us when they have no idea that it's not the national ESPN, that we're just a local affiliate that uses the name, but we're owned by Gal Media and not Disney. But you know what?
Keep dreaming. We appreciate him looking out for us, though.
Yes. I think Joel doesn't like her because she's a big Spurs fan. Is that true?
I knew her before she got to ESPN, and I knew she was a Spurs fan. It has nothing to do with it. I'm a broadcast guy, and I'm a connoisseur of good broadcasters, and I don't think she is on the air on that show.
Oh, Jackie McMullen.
Oh, she's the Boston Globe reporter.
Yeah. I don't know if that was her. That was, it might have been her. Like, see, there's just some guys and gals on that I don't want on my TV. And it's
she doesn't annoy me as much.
She brings you a ton of information now because she's been covering
she has these
NBA forever.
I don't want weird looking people on my TV. And it has nothing to do with her being a female because I can name you 10 guys, which I just did,
right,
that I don't think should be on there either. I mean, it's TV.
That's a part of it.
You should be easier on the eyes on TV.
Look, news people will tell you all the time about the hiring process or trying to get their foot in the door. They know sometimes they don't get hired because of their looks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sometimes they don't look bad looking.
It would be like Fran Dresser
they don't fit the look.
It would be like Fran Dresser having a radio show. No one would want to listen to that. Remember The Nanny? Do you ever remember that show?
No.
Nick?
That's how she laughed.
She kind of talked like this. God. No one would want to. Yeah, you've got to have a decent voice for radio. It doesn't have to be great, but something that just wouldn't get on your nerves.
She also had the East Coast accent. It was really tough to listen to.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there are certain people, like, you know, and obviously Lisa's in the business, but there are certain people that no matter what they look like, too, their voice just can't let them be an anchor. They can be a reporter.
Yep. Because
that voice, when you have to listen to it for 30 straight minutes,
gets on your nerves.
It's very, very tough.
That's right. Like, you have a smooth voice. Your voice is easy to listen to.
I hate my voice.
I know you do. I mean, I hate it, too, but not for that reason.
I get it.
Yeah. But, I mean, you've got to – there are certain things that, like, you can't be a model – you know what I mean? And like Steve Buscemi's never going to be a runway model.
No?
No. You know what I mean? Like Paul Feinbaum probably shouldn't be on TV.
Yeah.
They do hide his height well.
Is he short?
He's a short dude.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's not very tall. I mean, he's just a small guy. He's like very Charlie Palillo-ish in terms of his like body figure.
He's short and skinny. That's what I love about the TV shows.
It really is.
Maybe people don't know.
Charlie's not 6 foot?
What?
I didn't know that.
Charlie's what? He's probably what? I mean, he's not short,
he's probably
shorter.
4'11"?
He might be 5'2".
No, he's taller than that. He's taller than
that. Yeah, he's like 5'2.5".
Easy. Yeah, he's in shoes.
I love when you watch the TV, and some people may not notice this, but I'm sure you know it just because you've done TV and Lisa and everything else. But when you look at these desks, like they'll have Paul Feinbaum and they'll have three other people. They'll have an athlete. If you notice, the top of their heads are always the same height, right? Mm-hmm. And that's on purpose so that no one person is taller than the other.
Symmetrical.
But they've got to have seats that can go that high or that low for these people to get them adjusted. Sometimes, like, you get a Bob Costas at a table with Shaq, you can see Costas' knees above the desk. That's how high his seat has to be in order to be at the same height as Shaq at a table. It's hilarious to see some of that.
And it's not just with the athletes, because here's a little tip for you, because no one ever thought it was a good idea that people that have to do an anchoring of a show for 3 or 4 hours straight should be standing. But certain people in this local market have decided that it would be a good idea. So when you got to stand for the entire show and you're standing next to a male that's over 6'2 or 6'3, they make you stand on a box.
Yeah, that would suck.
It sucks, and it would be a little dangerous.
Yeah. Somebody said Ramona Shelburne. She doesn't bother me.
She gives you good information.
I was just responding to that tweet.
Let me just tell you something. Nick's got a crush on her, but let's put it this way. Ramona Shelburne has...
On her work ethic, she puts in
work. She's a beast, huh? See, that's the thing.
I'm leaving it right there.
I'm trying to get past that real quick.
Not saying a
word. But she's not like, I don't look at her and think, oh, get her off my TV.
No, she doesn't annoy me either.
Yeah.
She doesn't. No.
So I'm fine with it.
In terms of her look, Joel's giving me this look. Look, I didn't call her a beast. That was Barry.
I know that.
Because she goes out and gets the info. She's just eating up the news.
But, Nick, when you're kicking it at the apartment late night, the next thing you want to hear is next up on your TV, Brian Windhorst with Ramona Shelburne.
I mean, when you got all of the – she is just gobbling up the competition. There's no one that can hold a candle to her, right?
Happy Thanksgiving, Barry. All right, we're going to have two in the books, one to go, plenty more of the big show.
I don't know why you guys are laughing. Well, I'm confused.
Why confused? All right, we'll be back with more of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.